Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Nuclear fusion has long been seen as the holy grail in clean energy. Achieving nuclear fusion has also proven extremely elusive for generations of scientists. Last month, however, American scientists using the world's largest laser at the National Ignition Facility in Livermore, California, brought us one step closer to nuclear fusion becoming a viable source of clean energy. To help us understand nuclear fusion and just how important this milestone is, we welcome Wolfgang Bauer. He's a Michigan State University Distinguished Professor of Physics and has a dual appointment at the National Superconducting Cyclotron Laboratory. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Before we get to why this is such a noteworthy achievement, how about a little nuclear fusion for dummies? What is nuclear fusion?
Well, it all goes back to E is equal mc squared. You know, this Einstein formula that's T-shirt worthy.
Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so if you take light nuclei and you push them together, so the lightest ones are protons and neutrons, and you push them together, you actually get energy out of this process. So emerging two protons and two neutrons in what's called an alpha particle releases energy. Seems counterintuitive, right? Why would things that you just push together be lighter as a consequence and then release energy? And the reason why that is so is there's something called the strong nuclear force that provides binding between the nuclear particles and forms nuclei. The nuclei that are in the core of all the atoms that we're made out of.
And how does that compare to nuclear fission, what we use today?
Yes, so nuclear fission, now what I'm saying seems to be an exact contradiction of what I said just a minute ago. If you take heavy nuclei and you split them apart, you also gain energy. Because for the heaviest nuclei, that interaction is actually starting to get dominated by the Coulomb repulsion because the protons are positively charged and they repel each other, as we all learned in high school.
There is a waste with nuclear fission that we've learned over the past half century or so. What about with nuclear fusion?
Well, theoretically, if you just make helium, the atom that has an alpha particle in its core and two electrons, that is not a radioactive waste. So the hope is that nuclear fusion lets us make clean energy without radioactive byproducts. It's not that easy because some of the neutrons that you produce also activate materials in the containment, and so it's not completely without byproduct. But in any case, the hope is limitless, clean nuclear energy. Mm. And it would be the same energy that powers our sun.
What other downsides may there be to fusion? Are there concerns about any other possible problems?
Well, I mean, there's always the possibility that a reactor that we would build in the future could explode, right? That can never be excluded, just like, you know, a coal-fired power plant could explode, but a nuclear fusion reactor would be a little worse. But we're not there yet.
Okay.
We're very far away from there.
Talk to us about what happened at the National Ignition Facility last month then. Why was that a step forward?
Now, so let me first say what the National Ignition Facility really is. It's a collection of 192 of the most powerful laser beams in the world, and they're all shot simultaneously at a very, very small target, about half the size of a pinky finger. And what these lasers do when they come in from all sides is they compress this little capsule that contains the material that you want to fuse and heat it up. And then the hope is that in this compression and heating up, you make the conditions that overcome the repulsion between the protons and push them together.
They merge, yeah.
So that they can make nuclear fusion. So what the breakthrough is that, at least BBC News reported, is that the energy that was generated in these fusion events in these capsules that were compressed and heated exceeded the amount of energy that was absorbed by the material in the process of being compressed. Now, that sounds absolutely fantastic.
That's a greater efficiency. Can you look at it that way?
Yes, yes. Efficiency has something to do with it. We talk about a net energy ratio. All the energies that you release in the process have to be greater than what you put in.
Exactly.
Because otherwise you're just bankrupting yourself faster.
Right. Why has this been so difficult?
Yeah, so why is
fusion they just difficult? Naturally repel each other. Yeah. Is that at the heart of this?
Well, we all played with magnets when we were little children. And magnets have a north pole and a south pole. And and when you bring a north pole of one magnet close to the south pole of the other, you know, they attract and they snap together. But if you try to put a south pole to a south pole and you try to balance this magnet, it's almost impossible. And
yes.
it flips over right away. And these type of instabilities, they're also at the core of the troubles with nuclear fusion. And nuclear fusion, how it works, has been known since the 1930s. And the hope then was within 20 years we would have commercial nuclear fusion to give us limitless energy just like the sun produces. But as we have moved forward, that 20-year event horizon has never really changed. And so now we're still talking about, hey, 20 years in the future, we will have nuclear fusion energy. And there are two approaches. One is this National Ignition Facility in Livermore in California. The other is a confinement nuclear fusion inside a tokamak, which is an international effort that's right now being undertaken.
Inside a
tokamak is a large donut-shaped containment vessel that's magnetically confined. And that thing is being constructed right now in southern France, in Cadarache. And it's a sort of a $20 billion project. And it's scheduled to be completed maybe in 10 years from now.
We're talking with MSU Distinguished Professor Wolfgang Bauer about nuclear fusion and the road ahead and some rather promising developments with regard to nuclear fusion. Looking into the future, you've been at this a while. As you look into the future, do you have any idea how long before nuclear fusion is a realistic option as an energy source? Did it get a lot closer with this incident at the National Ignition Facility?
Well, I'm going to have to give you the same canonical 20-year number. To me, this is not that great of an advance. In August, the NIF team reported that they had generated 8,000 joules of energy. Now, that was almost comparable to what the energy was that was absorbed by the material, and now they have exceeded this. So
I
don't
yes.
know what the most recent number is. It may be 10, 15, 20,000 joules. But to put this into perspective, what powers the laser is a total energy of 1.7 million joules. So, you know, 100 times more. And so until we reach those 1.7 million joules, we haven't really gained anything. Because that's the real break even. The total energy that goes into producing all the laser energy has to be smaller than what comes out of the fusion. And we're very, very far away from this. But this is a very encouraging step on the way, because now for the first time, what they have found in their experiments actually agrees with their predictions from their computer codes. Mm. And this may seem like a trivial thing, but this is a decade-long effort by the computational teams and by the experimental teams to make sure that they really understand what goes on. Now that they understand, they can refine how they shoot the lasers and hopefully make better progress.
But the smart money is still on decades in the future.
Yes, I would definitely say that.
Interestingly, nuclear fusion isn't the NIF's only business. It also conducts nuclear weapons research. What kind?
Yes, so we have what's called a stockpile. We have nuclear weapons that we might want to use in the future, but that they're just there as a deterrent. And the question is, how do we make sure that stockpile is safe and secure and not deteriorating away? In the past, what they have done in our weapons labs is do underground nuclear explosions. There's a test ban treaty that the United States signed, and so we have committed to not do this anymore. And so, and this is easily verifiable because it makes very, very, very small earthquake-like signatures that you can trace from other countries. Mm. So we know that nobody in the world does these underground tests anymore, including us. But in the absence of these tests, how do we make sure that our nuclear weapons are safe? And the only way to do this is to make giant computer codes that simulate how nuclear weapons degrade over time. And the only way that you can verify these computer codes is, again, through these little micro fusion explosions that NIF generates. Mm.
Wolfgang Bauer is a Michigan State University Distinguished Professor of Physics. Thanks for helping us understand nuclear fusion. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.